This is RSP in the Update, episode 334, recorded Friday, November 11th, 2011. Musically yours. Hello, everybody, and thanks for joining us for RSPNB Update once again. Or if you're just joining us for the first time, welcome. We hope you'll enjoy what you hear. Kinkola is here this week with me.
Hi, everyone.
You guys probably all remember him from a few episodes ago, so we're going back to the usual routine now that all the interesting, fun stuff is over at RuneFest, the Edmonton episode, bot nuking, so we're just going to ride out the rest of the year as we normally do. So. Good to have you back once again, and we're going to discuss the first quest in RuneScape to feature real-life singing.
One piercing note.
You know, one piercing note kind of implied to me that initially maybe this quest was going to have something to do with music that wasn't going to be all that appetizing to the ear.
Mm-hmm. I was kind of worried about that too when I looked at it and I said, oh, there, well, it's going to be about religion and it's going to be about music. So I'm like, this is kind of worrying. But,
you know, it's about both equally.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering if what the religious orientation is of the person who wrote this quest. Because this quest could be taken in two ways. One, it could be taken in the context that religion is very important and everybody should kind of look at it kind of way. And two, it should be taken as these religious people have some crazy ideas about what's happening and they drive people to insanity.
Well, it's hard to know because, well, I've always thought of the Ceredomenists to be kind of like the equivalent of Christianity in real life.
Yeah, that's a good comparison.
Like, well, not just Christianity in general, but organized Christianity.
Yeah,
so like,
yeah.
But I wouldn't go as far as to say that they would be Catholic, but, you know, that same sort of organization and rules and that sort of thing like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the big churches and preaching and everything like that, and, you know, charity and doing good for good's sake and that sort of fun stuff.
Which worldly religion is to do with balance? Would that be one of the, Buddhists or something?
Yeah, probably the Buddhist. Or
and,
one of the other Eastern religions.
Yeah. And destruction?
Well, that would be probably some sort of Satanist cult, right?
Okay.
It's not. I don't think religion's based on destruction or have much of the...
any of those in this day and age, do we?
Yeah, we don't have too many of those.
What about the Zaros... people.
I don't know. What about them?
Well, I'm just trying to think, like, pure evil.
Well, Charles Manson?
Who's that?
Wikipedia him later.
Okay. Right, that was a bit of a tangent there, but okay.
Yeah, so, that was a bit of a tangent.
Basically, this quest... As we mentioned 2 weeks ago, you can find the backstory for it in the latest lore article that was put out on the website. So you might want to read that before you do the quest to get a bit of a background about what's going on here. But anyways, this quest is a tiny quest, speaking solely based on other quests, in that it's a standalone quest, it's classed as short, and it's a novice difficulty quest. So... There are no requirements to the quest at all, so there's basically anybody can go do this quest. So, as we said, it was primarily to focus on the graphics of the Abbey and also the singing that was there. But once you're in this quest, the whole idea behind it is a murder mystery. You're trying to find out who killed this one sister.
Mm-hmm.
Then that basically you discover things through that and discover a series of more deaths. And I'm not going to say who at the end was the killer, because that's something you should find out for yourself doing the quest. But overall, I like the way these kind of quests work. Start out small and work out to something bigger, you know, especially when it comes to murders. I don't know. I don't know why I like that kind of stuff. I just do.
Oh, it's a little bit of a mystery, eh? And something you get to figure out for yourself.
Yeah, I think that's it. And, you know, you're given a few hints and you gotta go through them and find out, okay, so this happened because of this, and then we put all these together, what could it be? And you end up at the end result. But
you've also said that you've always liked games that kind of test your brain power and whatnot. So, like Portal, for instance, you said you really liked it because
yes,
of that.
Yeah.
But so that's probably why you like this sort of thing too. But I like mysteries as well. It's neat trying to find clues and figure out what happened, because the revelation at the end is usually not what you were expecting, anyways.
Yeah, exactly. I thought it was some crazy religious godlike thing that was doing it, but it wasn't. Anyways, so that's a general idea of the quest. I'm trying to think of if there's anything else I should mention about what actually happened in the quest.
How good the music sounds?
Yeah, aside from that, like story-wise. Oh, the graphics of this place. You remember how in the past, sometimes when you would climb upstairs, you'd have to click and it would not animate you going up the stairs. Now in this place, it actually does animate you going up the stairs.
Oh, good. I think they're improving it now, which is really good.
Yep. So, lots of interesting stuff to come. All right. So, the music in this quest is the main highlight, of course. In that, you know, as anybody who listened to the RuneFest episode, we know that with RuneFest, they said by September 2012, all the sounds in the game won't be synthesized anymore. So if you string a bow, you'll hear a bow string sound. So the same goes for the music, in that the music we're starting to hear now is actually produced music with actual instruments and actual voices. So it's much nicer on the air. Ears.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was thinking during this quest, maybe this is what the people need in RuneScape in order to start using the music track. No?
Yeah, well, I think so. As long as if a game has good music, people will want to listen to it. And I think one of the problems with the with RuneScape music of the past is that the compositions themselves haven't been good. It's just their method of implementation hasn't been very good, and the way that they've, you kind of know what I mean. Like, the actual music is great music, and it's nice ambiance, but the way that they've performed it, synthesized with synthesizers, computers, and that sort of thing, it sounds really, really old school in terms of computer video game music.
Yes.
And I think it's now that they've started the jump to real music and real instruments, real voices, it's going to sound good. I just hope that they don't make the voice singing really cheesy.
Oh, yeah, that's another thing with this quest. All the characters were voice acted.
Oh, good.
So they all had different voices and everything.
Would you say that that improved the immersion of the quest?
Yeah, it did, because I had to do less reading.
Less reading is a good thing, isn't it?
Yeah, because I always hate reading these long passages and you have to click through them, you know? It's like, okay, yeah, let's go. But when it's like you're actually following along with it more when you're listening to it, I find. Kind of like the same thing when you read an audiobook.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Or listen to an audiobook.
It's called reading.
How do you read an audiobook when it's audio?
Because you're still processing what's going on in your mind.
I don't know about that one. You're listening to someone talk to you.
But you're still processing what's going on. You're still using the imaginations to create the pictures, like when the giant invasion fleet from Japan is coming in to attack Arizona. Anyways, I got a few samples of the audio from here for those of you guys who haven't done the quest, so I'll play a bit of that now. Okay, so for anyone who was watching there, I was just doing a little dance to the Troubadour dance song there.
And anyone who's into folk music like I am, it sounds really, really good. And it's very authentic, I can tell you right now. That is actually what a violin playing in a fiddle style sounds like.
Yeah, you know, that's the first thing I thought of when I heard that song was, hey, this is the kind of music the person I'm doing the show with produces.
Yeah, like I could, if I learned that song, I could play it myself. If I found someone that could play the mandolin, we could play that and we could record it and it would sound exactly in exactly the same style. You know, that is actual real compared to songs past where you couldn't recreate it perfectly using real instruments. So it sounds really, really good, and it's a really good step up. It makes me wonder what they're going to do with the older songs now.
Well, they have the sheet music for them, because when you make a MIDI-based song, you basically use sheet music to produce it.
Oh, so, yeah. Well, they'd have the notation and stuff, and they'd still know what it sounds like, but it makes me wonder how they're going to recreate them with real instruments and which instruments they'd use for each song, since they kind of do sound in the same way. Like there's different sounds that the MIDI files make. There's only a limited number that you can make, and they all sound in every song. You can hear the same sounds each time, so it makes me wonder how they're going to translate that into how many instruments there are in the world to use.
Well, they have expanded the audio team past the three people, and they hired 6 voice actors for this quest, plus, of course, the people who are going to sing the next song we're going to listen to. So, definitely focusing on audio.
I can see her dancing barefoot, there are flowers in her hair. I remember like I saw it yesterday. To the sound of flutes and drums, she took my hand and danced with me. And we kept dancing once the music went away.
Okay, that one was played at a funeral.
Mm-hmm. And that sounded like real organ music as well. Like below the actual singing, that sounded like a real organ right there. So they probably went to some church to actually record that. And it's nice to know that they're actually finally putting some effort into the sounds and the music of the game. Because I always thought that you know, having just a small team of three people, they could make do with that, because most games only have one or two people composing the music, like full-length games. Of course, MMORPGs would need to have more, but I think it's they were trying to rush it or either not put that much effort into it. And that's why they went with synthesized music. So Now that they're finally putting the effort into it, it's going to sound a whole lot better. And people will want to listen to it now.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, I as you said, it probably did help with the entire entire way the quest panned out and everything for the experience. So definitely well worth it. And when you first start this quest, you walk up to the area, right? And you get this notification that there's a lots of music and stuff in this quest, and they actually recommend you go and you turn on your audio settings, because they know most people play the game with the music off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this I think the whole point of this quest was just to showcase the music.
Yep.
You know, but they actually ended up making a pretty good quest out of it, I think.
Yeah, it was. And you know, for the reward says that too in its own way, because two quest points, a set of robes, the ability to recharge prayer points while listening to a musician, and only 250 prayer experience.
Well, so there could have been a bit more prayer experience, but I think the robes and the ability to recharge prayer while listening to musicians, that's a pretty that's a handy thing, you know.
But you can also get another 60,000 prayer experience by converting your god books into illuminated god books. So there's your extra prayer experience there.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah. So that's pretty much the reward for the quest. The illuminated god books do have a... They do the same as the regular god books, except they have a higher prayer bonus. So anytime you're looking for more prayer-based gear, these illuminated books are what you want to use.
Mm-hmm.
And also the robes do offer a bit of a prayer bonus, but not as good as the proselyte armor, I don't think. I don't know where they sit, but overall, pretty good quest. I think, I only keep my 5 out of 5s for quests that change the gameplay in a substantial way, but this is going to have to be a 4.
I'd say 4.5. It looks like they're finally on the right track with audio, and I'm looking forward to what they're going to do in the meantime. This might be something that brings me back to the game. Who knows?
Oh, really? Okay.
Seriously, audio, you can't be too short with audio. You've got to really have good audio and good music, because that's what really completes a good game experience.
Well, like I said, I felt like dancing when I listened to some of this.
Yeah, well, it means that you liked it, I'm sure.
Yeah. Okay. So that's it for the quest. On to the release notes. Really not much to mention there, aside from the fact that they modified Dominion Tower, so players' names only appear on the high scores once.
That's probably a good thing, eh?
Yep. So, just a little bit out there to anybody who has noticed that. Also, the water in one of the wilderness dungeons has also apparently been fixed. Nice attention to detail there, too. I don't know how many people go into those wilderness dungeons anymore.
Might be good to just take a day and explore around the world to see what they've done, right?
Yeah. I mean, there's so many corners of the map that I haven't been to in so long. Do you remember, did you do the waterfall quest?
I think I did.
I went in there a month or two ago, and I hadn't been in there in such a long time. I forgot, like, the entire tunnel system that was under there. So, lots of unused space. But anyways, next up, more loot equals more woot.
What a great play on words.
Yeah, you like the way I said woot?
Yeah, it's the only way you can say the word.
All right, so this is to continue celebrated success against the war on bots. They're giving us a bit more bonus XP. This weekend, from Saturday the 12th, to Monday the 14th at 2359 GMT. God Wars Dungeon, including Nex, Barrows, Chaos Tunnel, Stronghold of Security, and the 4 and 3 Dungeon will have double loot.
Hmm.
And also, this is the real kicker, double Dungeoneering XP and double token rewards for dungeon completion.
Oh, that's pretty good, considering how difficult Dungeoneering experience is to get.
Yeah, I gotta be doing some Dungeoneering this weekend.
The one thing that seems kind of funny is that both of those benefits apply to RuneScape members only, yet I don't really think there's that many that go to the Stronghold Security at a high level.
Oh, yeah, right.
Is there?
That's good. No, no, there's not. Well,
is there? Because well, the Stronghold you know, Security is mostly a free-to-play sort
yeah,
of
but I still advise people to train there if they're like between, let's say, 40 and 60 combat or so or something like that, I think, in the past. So
yeah.
There might be people, but... Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, the Chaos Tunnels also. Oh, you can kill, like, black demons down there, green dragons, everything, pretty much.
Time for some combat and dungeoneering.
Yep. Unfortunately, I don't think I'll have much time this weekend.
No.
It always happens to work like that. But.
Yeah. Doesn't it always?
So, anyways, so I'm going to try and get this out on Saturday, so you guys will have Sunday and Monday to take advantage of this. All right, next up, a guaranteed content pull for a fire-making quest-based NPC. We recently ran a thread in the Future Updates forum asking you to suggest a name and a personality for a female character who is going to be used in an upcoming high-level member's quest. The response was awesome. After hours of consideration, Mod Anna picked out her favorites and put them to vote. All you need to do is pick the one you'd like to see in-game. So the choices are Brandy, Keisha, Ash, the beautiful Nova, Merida, and Sarah. And they all have their own little things associated with them. For instance, Brandy is a circus fire breather and recovering alcoholic. Left the circus after an embarrassing incident in the hope that staying on the road would also help her stay on the wagon. After joining the fire maker, she found an outlet for new skills and a way to mostly stay off the hot sauce. Keisha is one of those hapless souls to whom accidents just seem to happen, and her specialty is fire. While her mishaps have got her into trouble, she's had her share of good fortune too, repelling an ice troll invasion in Burthorpe and rekindling the heart of the notorious Ozan. She was press-ganged by the master firemakers who couldn't let such a natural talent pass them by. Ash, quite simply, is obsessively fascinated with the properties of ashes. It is rumored that this began with a tragic incident in her childhood, but the dour analytical Ash will not say. She travels with the firemakers to further her research and has become an expert firemaker in her own right. The beautiful Nova has had everything given to her on a silver platter. She joined the firemakers for an unknown reason but refuses to get her hands dirty or sooty. Her growing feelings for Eminent burst into a flame of passion when she saw and understood the joy he takes in his art. Mayor Dunn is a warm-hearted soul who is more interested in the recuperative powers of the cozy fire than its potential for destruction. She will not reveal her reasons for joining the firemakers and is slow to trust but open to those who will listen to her ideas. She's also a keen cook. Then Surah is the jealous, self-professed rival of Ignatius Vulcan, Master Firemaker. Her goal in life is to create a blaze that will trump those of Vulcan himself.
So I'm voting Brandy, for Kitcha, Ash, Nova, Merida, and Surah.
I'm voting for Merida.
I think I would as well.
Oh, results hidden. We can't see.
Oh, come on. That's not cool.
32,000 votes so far.
28,000 of those are members, and only 4,800 of are free to play. So
yeah, that's probably going to be a member's quest, right?
Yeah, that is true.
So, like, which one would you pick?
I went for Mayorda as well.
Yeah, and I have 99 Firemaking. Don't ask me how I did that, but I guess I'm going to be covering this quest when it comes out.
What, the old-fashioned way? Did you do it?
Oh, there is no other way to do Firemaking. What, yeah. What's the new way?
Well, I don't know what the new way is.
There is no new way. You just click on the log, and there you go.
Putting, yeah, and just making the fires in the line, as you usually did.
Yep.
Yep.
Which, you know, I think if they could do this quest, that'd be good. Because really, what use is fire making? And it doesn't seem like it has much use in the modern RuneScape world when there's ranges everywhere. Like, you know? I don't know. I hope it brings new light to fire making.
I like how they're letting the community decide and then making a poll out of it.
Yeah, that's
with
good.
With more and more of these updates.
Well, they also have the boss that was designed at RuneFest. That's coming out in the coming weeks, I think. For the top of the Dominion Tower. So, lots of player design stuff coming. So, that's an interesting observation there. All right, shall we move on to a bot-busting update?
Another one.
Yes, another one. This time about legal proceedings. So, there's a whole bunch of questions in here. Basically, people have been hearing things around the internets, so Jagex has taken this time to answer some of these questions. First up, are you suing iBot? Yes, they are suing iBot. And they're confident that they'll prevail, and the developers of iBot will be forced to stop interfering in game development envisioned for legit players. Then, is Jagex suing its players? If so, what gives? Yes. Jagex is suing certain players who disregard the terms and conditions and agreements entered into them and continue to use bots, but they're also offering them a one-time amnesty. So yes, they are suing players like that. What do you think of that?
Well, it's interesting that they're actually telling us that they're going ahead with these sort of things. You know, normally they'll say we can't comment on certain cases, you know, like that.
Yep.
But they're actually telling us certain things of what they're doing. They're being remarkably open with us about this.
Well, this article was prefaced with, there's so much more we want to tell you, but we can't. This is just the tip of the iceberg, what we can tell you. We hope that this will go a long way to making you feel better kind of thing. So, but, you know, it's completely understandable that they can't talk about a court case that hasn't even gone to court yet because, you know, if they give more information about that, who knows, they could jeopardize their case, right?
Mm-hmm. So. Exactly. So they don't want to leak certain items that they're going to use.
Or, yeah, that's right.
That sort of thing.
And they say Central District of California in 2011 against unnamed person. The technical terms is John Doe's. Like in CSI.
I thought that was funny. Yeah. Like in CSI. Yeah, the technical term is John Doe if you're going against an unnamed person.
Yep.
Or what's it? John Doe and John Doe and Jane Doe.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
All right. Has Jagex unlawfully or dishonestly taken or misused player information? Jagex always takes legal obligations seriously. It's acted consistently with both European and U.S. laws. And then they say, of course, we've upheld privacy standards and whatnot. So basically, I'm assuming what this is designed to ask is for people who are concerned about the iBot case or other cases is that will this player information be given out to anyone? And of course, the answer is no. I mean, the way legal systems work is that there are ways to protect all this kind of information, you know. And if something like this ever did come out to the public or anything, any critical information would be redacted from those reports.
But also, I think people might be concerned that, you know, a win for Jagex in this suit is a win for big corporations and how they can screw around the users more.
But
I think,
you know,
in this certain
case,
probably not. I think.
Yeah,
it's,
no,
I think
it's not. I mean,
it's a good.
Ultimately, it comes down to the judge and who did the judges serve? I mean, judges are not appointed by government. I don't know what the selection's like in the UK, but a judge is going to rule based on what the law is, no matter who's right or wrong. They're not going to focus on somebody giving preference to someone just because they're a big corporation. Mm-hmm. So, what was also interesting with this is that they used this lawsuit in order to get information from PayPal about certain subscribers.
Hmm. And they actually succeeded with that, eh?
Yeah. And, of course, we got the DMCA in the U.S., so for anybody out there who doesn't like the DMCA, let's just remember that without the DMCA, it would be hard for things like this to happen. So there is some kind of new, modern copyright law that is required in every country.
We still don't have one here.
Oh, it's coming. It's coming. I think it's in, what, second reading now?
Might be second reading.
Yeah, something like that.
Still a few things in there that I don't really like about it, but I think that's
pretty
much the same
with
any law. I don't
know. I personally think it's a whole lot better than the DMCA, but...
Yeah, well, yeah, I think anything would be a lot better, but...
But, you know, everybody's always scared of Stephen Harper's government, so, you know, that kind of thing's bound to happen.
Oh, well, we've had it for about 6 months now, so...
Yeah, and there was a picture on Twitter about... that was posted by that one guy that with a link to that ad from the 2006 election about Stephen Harper putting military in the cities. He says, OMG, it's coming true. Ottawa's being invaded. A whole bunch of helicopters flying in formation.
Oh, yeah.
Anyways, I'm sorry about that little tangent there. That kind of thing happens when you get us two on the show.
Yeah, that's true. I think people expect by now that we'll just go on random Canadian tangents that no other person will know about. Anyhow, we were talking about bots, weren't we?
Yes, yes. What happens now? JX is continuing to focus its efforts on restoring RuneScape to its very best following a successful bot nuke day. JX may continue to do other technical and or legal things in the meantime, but won't always be able to tell you all the details or specifics of any ongoing lawsuit, such as the current suits in the districts of Massachusetts and the Central District of California.
But hey, they're doing something, and they're letting us know that they're doing something.
Yep.
And the something that they are doing is succeeding. This is a good thing, isn't it?
Yes, yes, it's better than doing nothing, right? Or letting
doing
the bots just run the economy like some people suggest is a good thing.
Yeah. But they're also letting us know about it, too, which, you know, restores my opinion of them somewhat, I think.
Yep.
Because things had gone by the wayside for far too long, and I think now they're starting to finally fix things.
All right. And then, of course, RS Buddy. What happened to RS Buddy? Some of you may have noticed recently significant former bot developer RSBuddy has both acknowledged the harm caused to RuneScape by bots, but also completely renounced any further development of any bot software, taking the decision to reform into a RS fan site instead.
Well, I think maybe he had a huge change of heart, or he decided that... He decided that it might be stupid to pursue with this, considering how badly the bot developers were hit with this bot nuke day and everything, you know?
Or he got hit with a lawsuit.
It's probably possible, too, so he just, you know, apologized and made up, and maybe that's probably all that they're wanting, really, is just to get all these people to stop, you know?
Yeah,
I don't think
like
they...
They don't really
want any money out of this. They just want it to stop, and they just want it to be back to normal.
Yeah, and you can at least negotiate with these guys. You know, it's not like negotiating with terrorists or something.
Exactly.
I mean, we could get the terrorists to stop, but that would require significant concessions, and you know, you aren't supposed to negotiate with terrorists, right? So, in a way, the bot battle is a lot simpler than that. So that's kind of what Jagex is doing here, turning people one person at a time, so to speak, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But, all right. And then, of course, one final note. Is JX permanently anti-bot? JX has always maintained a consistent position on botting. Botting is cheating and ruins the game for legitimate players. We will continue to do whatever we can in both technological and legal venues in order to continue removing botting and gold farming from the game. Mm-hmm. All this, of course, written by Mark Gerhard. You guys can read the full article on the RuneScape website.
So that's the third thing they've done. That's really good.
Three?
Three, yes.
What's one and two?
Well, music and audio was the first one.
Okay.
Second one was letting players decide more things, and this is the third.
So we're on a roll, aren't we?
We're on a roll this week.
For this last two months of the year.
I think we're doing pretty good so far, eh?
Yep. Good job, Jagex. You might manage to change my idea of the year. It's all downhill from here, as I said back in February.
Well, it was downhill, but once you hit rock bottom, there's nowhere to go but up. Isn't that right?
Yeah, it's just a matter of how quickly you go up.
But they've been going up pretty quickly, I think.
Yep. All right. So a bit more RuneFest coverage, the last of the RuneFest coverage until next year's RuneFest is announced. Some videos from the developer sessions are posted that you guys can access. Including A Decade in Gilenar, see the best of Andrew Paul Modmark, nostalgic jaunt through a decade of RuneScape's past. In this one, for example, one of the things they mention is that they used fences in order to make the game world seem bigger, so that you couldn't just cut across Alcarid to get to Varrock from Lumbridge. You had to go the long way around.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also, looking to the future, they got a preview of what's coming in RuneScape 2012. Of course, one of the things mentioned in that one, as we heard last week on the RuneFest episode, was that, of course, they're focusing on audio, and they're also going to be focusing on updating the player kit. You can see some pictures of this in the RuneScape 2012 highlights video, and you can find the links to all these on the show notes at update.rsvmb.com. And of course, they just got goodbye and congrats, which is basically a roundup of RuneFest and telling everybody thank you for making it such a success. The props are back in Gilenor, the actors back in their box for another year, and the dwarves are busy learning their lines, ready to appear in another festive pantomime next to you. I mean, next near you. Then, of course, they got the Golden Gnome Video Awards winners, the costume competitions, and gallery competitions. So they have, of course, photos as well, which is on Facebook. A huge selection of them, so if you haven't already, take a look at these as well. They're definitely something worth looking at. So, that's RuneFest.
That was RuneFest, and this
all
is
done
what
for another year.
This seems like an end of year podcast.
Oh no,
we're looking back at all the things that they've done so far.
That's yet to begin. I have to figure out how I'm going to do the narrative for this year because it's been quite a year.
It has been quite a year, I have to say.
Yep. Everything, but we'll get to that sometime in December. We're getting a little bit of ahead of ourselves there.
That's for sure. So that was 37 minutes of RuneScape updates.
Oh, good. You were timing. Thank you for timing. I forgot to start the timer. Because for the past 3 weeks, I've been running a timer so I can gauge the time better, so I can always target a set length of about an hour and a half or so.
Well, because we restarted the call, right? So, I mean, it was only 2.5 minutes after we started that call up again.
Oh, okay. All right, then.
So,
on to questions now.
On to questions.
We got three audio questions, and RR Man, I'm sorry about this, but just in the effort to save time, we've heard your intro before, so I'm not going to play the full intro here. I know you wanted me to, but it's just in the interest of time's sake. You can still send the questions in with the intro. We like hearing it in the pre-show and everything, but I think you and Sorensen there have made a definite appearance on the clip show at some point this year. So no need to worry about whether or not you've made your mark on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Greetings, it's RMN100 here. Hope you didn't miss me too much, Shane, but I'm here for a couple of questions. First off, I'd like to dedicate this episode to Sorensen57, who unfortunately couldn't make it today. He was busy slaying. So, it appears it's the end of the world for the bots. RuneScape has been reborn. Reformed, if you like, to its former glory. Some people would even go as far as to say it's a brand new game. So, question one, very easy. How long do you think this can last? I'm going to give it 3 months. That's my bet. How about you, Shane? And question two, following on from a topic you had on the last week's show, what is the actual difference between those different graphics modes you're talking about? I've seen them in the game. I think mine's stuck on OpenGL. Well, the other one's a software and DirectX, is it? Is there actually any difference? I'm guessing that if you set it to DirectX, is that better for a high-end computer? Not really sure, and I don't even really notice a difference when I change them. What's the point of those? And yeah, so what's the difference? Well, I think that's me for this week. Thanks a lot for answering the questions. Shane, how about you give us a taste of that New Zealand accent you keep telling us you've got there? I'm really keen to hear it. So, peace out, guys. Thanks a lot.
In regards to the New Zealand accent, that only comes sporadically, and it hasn't come this week yet, so I'm sorry about that. But last night I was on Skype, and I started talking in an American South accent. just randomly.
Do you want to recreate some of that?
No, I don't think I want to do that on this show. I don't want to offend anybody or start sounding like George Bush or anything like that.
Oh, come on. Making fun of George Bush is hardly offensive to anyone.
I like him.
Except the people that elected him. Ah, da, 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 da. No, never mind. Never mind.
All right. So,
the question... How long do you think it will last? He gives it 3 months. How long do we give it?
It was a substantial rewrite to the way the game handles code in that respect.
Mm-hmm. I think it'll last a long time.
Yes. Yes.
A lot longer than 3 months.
Yeah, I think it's a permanent fix, really, because from what I've heard, just the way everything works now, it's a whole lot harder to get your hands on the what the game is actually doing, just to the way they change the way it sends the data to you, and also by the virtue of the fact they got rid of the unsigned mode, which is a very good thing to do if you're looking to protect security on Java applets, because basically what a signed applet does is it ensures that it's coming from you, for one thing. That's the basic thing it does, but it also enables Java to do more advanced features. For instance, any time you want to interact with a file system, you need a signed applet. Anytime you want to secure data, you need a signed applet. So that's why a signed applet was so important there. But, like they say, it's an ongoing battle, and if they were to just stand still, chances are over time, maybe, 6 months or so down the road, there might be some kind of crack to get into. But I don't think so, because they're going to be constantly innovating on this. And once you have a solution like this, you keep it a closely guarded secret, and you're pretty much good for the long term. So, as I said, it's a significant rewrite. And if you're still running around RuneScape now, you'll notice sometimes your frame rate drops, or you'll enter an area where frame rates are completely horrid. And they're still working on that. And that, of course, is due to the bot nuke and how it changed the code in the game and everything. So, fairly substantial, and I think it is going to be successful for a long time.
I think it will be, too, because as soon as they update it, I think now that they're actually looking at them a bit more, they'll probably be able to stay ahead of all the updates that the bot creators are making.
Yep, and if you have a specific team just designed to bots, what you do is you have that team look at any new releases that the bot companies make, and then you reverse engineer those and then apply that to the cluster flutterer.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyways, question two regarding the OpenGL, DirectX, and software modes. Those are the different graphics modes that control how RuneScape is rendered. Software mode is what we had prior to summer of 2008, when RuneScape was just a tiny window and no textures. And then later on, we had software mode expanded to be able to run textures. Because I forget the name again, but you do have the ability to generate textures in code, which is what they're doing with this. So they're not using the kind of textures we see in other games like World of Warcraft or StarCraft 2. We're seeing textures generated by algorithms rather than textured rendered in a 3D editing suite. So that's why software mode can now render textures. Then we've also got OpenGL mode and DirectX. OpenGL and DirectX are kind of the same, but they're not. OpenGL and DirectX both use your computer's video card to do the rendering. So the rendering that would normally be done by your processor in software mode is just farmed out to your graphics card. So chances are, if you're on a computer with a bit of a slower CPU and a decent graphics card, OpenGL and DirectX will work better for you because graphics cards are so much more powerful at what we call floating point operations, which is what this is probably dealing with. So essentially, OpenGL and DirectX just farm it out to the graphics card. And then the only difference between those two is that OpenGL is an open source rendering library. It's been around for many years. Lots of people use it. And then DirectX is from Microsoft, closed source, of course. It's what Xbox uses and pretty much any game, modern game on Windows uses. So they do pretty much the same thing. It's just a matter of who develops them. And contrary to popular belief, OpenGL can do the same things that DirectX can do. It's just a matter of the people getting marketed towards DirectX better, even though they do the same thing.
So in a sense, for the layman, there probably isn't that much of a noticeable difference between the many different modes?
There's going to be a noticeable difference between software and any of the GPU-rendered modes, for sure.
Okay.
Because your CPU is also doing all the communications with the server, calculating where objects are and everything, alongside the rendering. Whereas if you do it with the graphics card is just doing rendering and it can just focus on that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some graphics cards have better OpenGL drivers than DirectX drivers, and vice versa. So if you're on Windows, I just suggest you play around with whatever gives you the better frame rates. And if they're both the same, use OpenGL. I mean, yes, you don't get the new water effects, but you're sending JX a message by when they count how many people are using it. If they're using OpenGL, they're going to keep focusing on OpenGL rather than DirectX, which is really what they should be doing.
Mm-hmm. It's because open source is a lot better.
Well, not just that. It's just that DirectX is Microsoft. And it's got this huge marketing engine behind it that sometimes developers shy away from OpenGL just because of some documentation they saw from Microsoft on it. Mm-hmm. I forget which game it was, but there was some game that decided to include only DirectX because it later came out that Microsoft sent them some documents on OpenGL that were false. So,
yeah.
But of course, if you're using Linux or OS X, you just got OpenGL. Yes, that was a bit of a long discussion there, one-sided, but did you understand it?
I understood most of it, yeah.
Okay, yeah. That's good. All right, that's good.
I still don't think there's that much of a noticeable difference. Just as long as you play around with it, see which one works better for you, which one runs faster, and better.
This is the primary case. The OpenGL drivers on the video card that I have in my Windows computer are not as strong as the DirectX drivers. I get better frame rates in DirectX.
Mm-hmm.
But on OS X, we don't have DirectX. So we just have OpenGL. But even with that, there's a case on drivers showing that some implement better and some don't. OpenGL support on an NVIDIA graphics card on OS X is completely horrible. But on an ATI graphics card on OS X, OpenGL support is great. So it entirely depends on what graphics card you have.
Yeah, but so what's the difference between the two major graphics cards, and the AMD and the NVIDIA? Which one would be better for which one?
Which one would be... Well, I don't know. It depends on the drivers. And I think ATI probably, or AMD rather, on Windows probably has the better OpenGL drivers based on what I have on my NVIDIA graphics card. But it's not so much that you can notice it. It's just a decrease in what the synthetic frame rates are. Because, you know, above 30 frames per second, you don't see the difference.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. It really doesn't matter much. there's your rundown. Just whatever looks best to you, I guess. That's the simplest way of saying it.
Play around with it, see which one works best.
But if you can, shy away from using software mode. All right, next audio question is from Jelly Belly. I like Jelly Belly. So what about you?
Pretty good, yeah. Good snack.
Hey, guys, it's Jelly Belly. Yeah, that's my RuneScape name. I was the one that sent you those two anonymous questions, and I feel pretty shitty for not sending my name with it. But anyway, I wanted to ask you if you guys think that RuneScape will turn to the... I'm a RuneScape player, but I wonder if you were thinking that the RuneScape might turn to controls such as like World of Warcraft with the arrow keys instead of clicking. All right, thank you.
I don't think so. It's been this way for a very, very long time with clicking, and I think it would be nice if it turned to arrow keys and clicking, you know, in a, you know, WASD and whatnot, but I think they've used this form for so long now that it would be, I think it would be just better if they kept it the way it was, but I don't think they're going to be doing anything with it. What do you think, Shane?
I don't see any technical reason why they couldn't, but the way RuneScape works, it doesn't make sense to do so. Mm-hmm. Because if you look at the way you move around the game, you move to a certain area and then stand in that square for a period of seconds to minutes. Take fishing, for example, or farming. Now, it's easier to just click on a square and have your person run there, I think. There's nothing in RuneScape right now, it requires such control that being able to use WASD and the mouse to steer would be beneficial, I think. Unless, of course, they're going to be bringing out some more quests where you actually need to evade certain things like that, then maybe that might be a case for it. But I don't see any time, anything right now that would need that. I also think it'd be kind of awkward because a map square is a map square, so it's like you would somehow it would have to know whether you wanted to do a pure 90 degree turn or if you wanted to cut diagonally across map squares, because you know you can cut diagonally across them. So I don't know how easy it would be to control. I think it might be something interesting to look at as a as an alternate option maybe, but I don't think the main way that we've had for all these years is going away.
Yeah, plus it's a certain square that you're going to, right? And you stand in that one square and you go either you only go in eight directions, whereas in most games that use arrows and mouse to steer, you're going in any, you could stand on any certain point in that time, whereas with this you have only a limited number. So I mean,
yeah, it's and better that's why to it would use be kind mouse. Of and that's why it would be kind of clunky if you were to do that, because it would give the illusion of kind of only being able to turn a certain notch rather than being able to turn, say, 178 degrees, you'd only be able to turn 160 or 180.
It would give the illusion of freedom.
Yeah, but, you know, the reason I said maybe is because not too long ago they introduced a mode where you click with your middle mouse button or your wheel, and you can use that to adjust the camera. And typically that's a way of steering in other games. You use WASD to either move forward, left, or right, and then you just hold that button and then steer with your mouse. So that's what made me say maybe. But thank you, Jelly Belly. And you know, no need to feel bad about yourself for not including your name. We got the questions, and that's what counts in the end.
And hey, it's something that we've all done in school. Remember when you hand in a test and you forget your name on it and you feel really stupid about yourself? It happens to everyone. Don't worry about it. It's not like we won't use your question.
I think I only did that once.
It only takes one time.
Alrighty. Thank you. Next up from Johnny Great.
Hey guys, it's Johnny Great here. How y'all doing? Kinda in a hospital right now, so not sure if you're going to play my question from last week, but in case you don't, here's another question. Have any of you guys ever been in surgery? You know, I've been in one for my years, and let's just say it sucks. So, thanks. Have a great day.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that you're in the hospital. Hospitals are not fun places, that's for sure. No matter the reason why you're there. I hope you're feeling
full
better.
Of germs.
Well, not just that, but they're bland, they're drab, and they're kind of depressing.
And sometimes they smell bad, too.
That's true, yeah. Yeah, I remember one of my family members have had to go there, and it's not really nice to go there, even though they're doing really well. So... some place that I don't really like to visit all the time. What? Couldn't understand you. It sounded like you were breathing into a mask.
Yeah, that's what I said. I want a mask whenever I go into an emergency room in the winter.
Yeah, a mask. Remember the SARS outbreak a long time ago and everyone was wearing masks because of it?
Yeah, that was just in the Toronto area.
Yeah. That was pretty weird. Anyways,
and there was H1N1, which turned out to be a dud.
Yeah, and the avian flu and mad cow disease and how many scares there have been in over the last little while.
If you want to watch a movie about that kind of pandemic stuff, watch Contagion with Matt Damon.
You like Matt Damon, don't you?
Yeah, he's good.
Yeah.
He's good. He's starting to reform into the old man, father type actor rather than the born type actor, you know?
Yeah.
But anyways,
have we ever had any surgeries? I personally haven't. At least, well, not since I was born. I guess you could call that a surgery.
Okay.
No, I haven't had any major operations. I haven't even had my wisdom teeth taken out yet. They still haven't even fully grown in. Most of them.
Wow, that's late.
And there might actually be let's see here, one of the bottoms. They've started to come in, but there might actually be room in my mouth for them. So they said the dentist said they were not going to take them out unless it was absolutely necessary.
And you've got a pretty big mouth too, so there's room for them.
Well, you have a pretty big mouth too, Mister.
You said it first, long time ago.
Yeah, I know I did. Yeah, well, I actually do apparently have a pretty big mouth. So my teeth might just fit in there. But my teeth are fairly straight as well, so that's probably why they haven't needed to do anything with them, because they were perfectly straight and perfectly lined. I never needed braces. So that's a joy to have good teeth. It's always good to take care of your teeth.
Yes, floss
daily. But yes, that's another tangent. Surgeries. No, haven't had anything.
Okay.
Haven't had to go into the hospital for myself ever.
Well, that's good. Surgeries for me, just minor stuff. A few years back, I got a portion of my toenail removed. As a preventative care kind of thing. Basically, the procedure was to remove the sides of the toenail, pull back the skin a bit, expose the nail bed, and kill off a portion of it to prevent an ingrown toenail issue.
Eek. Making me
squeamish. It wasn't that bad. It wasn't
bad. You don't
need
to describe it too much.
I watched. I quite enjoyed watching it.
I bet you did, you creepy person. You let's just do. I got the heebie-jeebies.
I used to watch open heart surgery on TV.
You know, that's why I could never get into House. I liked the show and I loved the humor, but I just couldn't watch them doing the operations and stuff. That's why I don't like the hospital shows.
I could say something that would really creep you out about the toe thing, but I won't.
Yeah, you probably could, but it would probably creep out all our viewers and scare them all away, and we wouldn't be the best RuneScape update there would be ever again. So, I mean, it's better to just stay quiet, Shane, on that matter.
And aside from that, I also had my wisdom teeth removed, and they put me out for that, because I got quite the substantial gag reflex.
Yeah.
So. And that turned out to be a good thing, because the night before that, or actually just a few minutes before, I finished up a clue before I left, and I got a pair of third-age plate legs.
Oh, yeah, we haven't heard this story before.
So basically, I need to go into surgery more often to get good clue scroll reward items.
Oh, well, maybe I'll go and go over there and break your bones or whatever, and you'll have to go in. It'll all be for a good cause, of course.
You shouldn't have to do bad stuff like that to get good stuff, but sometimes it just seems to work that way.
I guess it does. Karma and all that.
Yeah, so that's all I had for surgeries. Not much. So we're a healthy bunch, I guess.
We are pretty healthy, I'd say.
Yep. Alrighty, next one is from Sorensen57. And you wanted to read that one.
I did, because I always want to say that one word. Hey, Shane and Geists. It's been a while since I've been in contact with the show. If you haven't already heard, Jack Mob, the guy behind Drew RS Buddy, has had a change of heart and wants to stop botting within RuneScape now. What do you think about the sudden change of heart? Also, do you think bots will ever be back on RuneScape? I think we'll handle that one first, shall we? Well, we kind of did already handle it, right?
We said, will they? How long will the cluster flutter work for? Will bots ever be back? Yes, they will be back at some point.
Yes. But will they ever be back in such a dominating way and with such heavy numbers? Hard to say. I don't think they will be.
I don't know. there are going to be bots that are going to come back at some point or another. It's just a matter of how bad the issue will be. But I think if Jagger keeps on top of it, everything will be fine. Another thing that I think JX might do or should look at doing is heuristics-based banning, or account locking at least. Basically, what this means is it's like a lot like an antivirus program. So we know what the typical profile of a player looks like based on, say, a test case that Jagex hired, for example. Now you compare that, XP rates, map movements, mouse movements, etc., whatever. Then you combine all these things together into a mathematical equation, and then you put together what's called a set of heuristics for this person. And then you can use this to tell you if someone is botting before they even start botting. So that's one other way I think JX might be looking at stopping some of the color-based bots. Mm-hmm. I just thought I'd throw that out there because I think that's something that should be done if it's already not being done, because heuristics-based antivirus was one of the biggest steps forward in PC antivirus protection.
Mm-hmm.
So.
But I think they will come back, but will they be back in such a large number of quantities? I'm not sure. We'll have to see. It'll be something to look at in the future.
I mean, we could say that they never disappeared after they were removed in 2007, supposedly, because free trade in the wilderness, right? That mm-hmm. just masked the problem, kind of.
Yeah, exactly. It just mentioned that they couldn't do it the same way that they could before, and it just basically removed their means of doing it. But in that sort of sense, it also ruined everyone else's enjoyment of it as well. So this way, they've actually looked at the problem and fixed the problem, which is the actual bots and not just their methods of employment.
Yes, which is good. So,
mm-hmm.
Alrighty, the next part.
The next part of the question was, lastly, what do you think of the new Dominion Tower gloves? Although they are the best gloves in the game for each class offensively, they lack anything good in the defense and only last for a few hours before they degrade. And these questions were from Sorensen57. Thank you for your questions.
He's from New Zealand, apparently.
He's from New Zealand.
Well, I think I'm going to go in the category with these gloves that they're kind of a novelty item that people will get from the tower and then wear out. I mean, everything you get from the tower is random, right? So there's no specific targeting that, oh, I'm going for these gloves. So I think they're much in the same way that you'd use something like, trying to think of an item that does something similar like that, where it starts out and just gives it to you randomly. Okay, I got one. Just like biscuits from Clue Scrolls. Biscuits aren't something you try for, but you'll use them if you have them. That's the kind of thing I think with these gloves. And yes, you do say there's no, they're only offensive, but there's nothing defensive, which I guess is okay. But I mean, they're just, I think, in my view, meant to be just a little side reward that you can use, and then not necessarily to something you'd use as your normal equipment kit. I think that's what I'm getting at. I.e., not an item that you'll be using as a primary means, just something secondary to boost on top, like maybe the Slayer helmet or something, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's my view on the gloves. And, you know, Dominion Tower is Dominion Tower, and whatever you get from it is a nice little boost. That's the way I saw the rewards when they came out. Oh, yeah. Since you weren't here last week, Dominion Tower is an update that lets you fight previous quest monsters in there.
Oh. Oh, that one. The yes. one that they did those whole polls about last
yes.
time.
Yes, yes.
Oh, yes. Well, that's neat.
So you can fight Elvarg.
Ooh.
Again. And I died to it.
But it wasn't during a quest, was it?
No, it wasn't during a quest.
Oh, Elvarg, that brings back good memories.
Because the problem was, is that you get these handicaps along the way. I got the handicap, no shield, and no potion.
Yeah.
Dragonfire, you know?
Yeah, oh yeah. So you could just use the... Well, that's how we did it in free-to-play. You just use the shield, and that's all you
but
get.
But I had no shield.
Oh, well, that would be why.
Yeah, I said I had the no shield handicap.
Oh, okay.
So, anyways. Thank you, Sorensen. You have to... Or no, never mind. That was our man that asked about the accent. Never mind. Next question?
Next question. That this question is from the German. Cool, it's good to have you back. Good to be back, the German. Thank you very much. And Shane, it's good to have you again, even though you're here every week. So it's good to hear from you as well. This week he has a question about computers. What computers would be good for running RuneScape, doing college work since he is enrolled until June, and just browsing the internet? Said he thinks the laptop would be best, and his budget's not very high, because even though he makes money from football, he's still paying off cars, the apartments, and other things. So he's the working man, so to speak, with bills to pay. Donkey the German.
Oh, anything really. Anything really modern. Anything really. RuneScape. Yeah. I mean, RuneScape runs on the latest Sandy Bridge Intel integrated graphics, so it depends on what other kind of gaming you plan on doing. If you're looking at a laptop, I would go with Dell for laptops. If you're looking for a desktop, maybe build your own, if that's something you'd be interested in. I always say that because, you know, it's always a fun thing to do and you get good value from it. And you can put together a pretty decent gaming computer for under $500. And I know college people like gaming.
Mm-hmm.
So as for what to look for in general, if you're looking for something that can do gaming, graphics card is going to be your most important thing. But because you're on a budget, you'll probably want to target for a graphics card in the high $100 US range if you're building your own. Or, I don't know what that would be in euros. I'm not familiar with the pricing of hardware over there. Then, of course, memory in this day and age, you want 4 gigabytes of memory. And you can go Intel or AMD for the processor. Personally, I prefer Intel. The only time I would go AMD is if I'm putting together a budget build, which might be something you're looking at here, because you can get a decent processor for a bit less money than you can with Intel. So,
and And if you want to get a laptop, the one thing that you'll want to do is get something that'll last. You want to make sure that
you're not cheap out on a laptop.
Yeah, you can't exactly cheap out on laptops, especially if you're going to be using it a lot. You'll want something that'll last you more than just a few years.
Yeah, and another thing with laptops is keep in mind if you're getting a desktop replacement or if you want to carry it around with you. Like, sure, you can carry any laptop around with you, but really, do you want to be carrying something around that's 10 pounds, a replacement like that?
You'll want to make sure it's lighter, but not skimping out on the hardware.
Yeah,
another thing with gaming with laptop is your heating issues. You want to make sure you have good heating. Well, I can say this because I have a gaming laptop and it gets pretty hot. So it's always good to prop it up if you're using it. Make sure the bottom isn't directly on the desk. Otherwise it'll get too hot. It's always nice to have a little fan. It's called Logix. It's a little mini fan. It's about the size of, it's circular and it's around. It's about the size of your hand. Like you can grab it, and it just plugs into the USB port and it turns on. It's like a mini fan. Don't go for like the cooling pads and everything. Those are terrible because they basically do the same thing as a laptop and they block off their cooling system. You'll want an actual mini fan, and I'm not sure if you can get them over there, but I just got mine a little while ago and it's worked so perfectly. If you just put that right near the heat sink, it just solves all of your problems.
Or a better idea would be to get a tub of liquid nitrogen and then build a little rig so you can have your laptop sitting above the liquid nitrogen.
Yeah, but since that's not exactly that practical, it's best to just go out and get like a... Well, I got mine for $15, so I mean, euros, that's not too much, to be honest. You can find one for pretty cheap at most electronic stores. Ooh. You just have to look around.
Another thing, if you're going for a laptop, definitely go Intel. Intel's got the superior mobile technology over AMD. So, going for a laptop, definitely get Intel. Mm-hmm. Because power usage is so critical when you're on a laptop. Every little bit you can squeeze out of it is a benefit. Mm-hmm. I think we covered that one. But if you're planning on getting a desktop, I would really look into building it, because buying a pre-made desktop never really is a good idea, because they always skimp out on something, whether it be the graphics card or hard drive manufacturer. Might be some unknown hard drive manufacturer, and you don't want your hard drive to die, so just get a decent hard drive in there. So that's why I don't like pre-built desktops.
Tell you what, the German, if you go to rsbnb.com/forums and go into tech talk, you'll be able to if you post a topic there, you'll have lots of people that will be able to help you out through text, which is actually quite a bit easier than helping you out through voice, because helping you through voice, we can't exactly send you links. So, if you post a topic on the forums, we'll be able to help you out there quite a bit, and you might even be able to get a specific build that way.
Yeah, and we got... I know Paul is in charge of AMD stuff, and I'm pretty much in charge of Intel stuff. So if you post something wanting a build, given a budget, and you give us a store, one of us will be able to put together something that will go in that price range. Mm-hmm. So, thank you, German.
Thank you for your questions to everyone.
Yeah, he's probably from Germany.
Oh, how did you figure that out, Shane?
Yeah, okay.
Was it the donkey, or was it the fact that he's called the German?
Well, German.
Yeah, German. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I figured that out when he did the first question that he did, but yeah.
I did too. I was just highlighting it again for anybody who missed it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for that, Shane.
All right, so anybody who wants to send in questions, you can send tech questions in on the forums, rsbnb.com/forums. Look for the global announcement. That typically goes up on Monday. Or if you want to send an audio question like RR Man and Jelly Belly and Johnny Great did, you just email the question to questions@rsbnb.com or leave us a voicemail at 571-572-2632. That is an American number, so if you are foreign, just make sure you have a long distance plan if you're going to call there. So. Mm-hmm. All right. On to tech news. All right.
Techie news.
So first up, Facebook. Privacy settings. Opt-in rather than opt-out as a result of a lawsuit.
Yay! Lawsuits.
Federal Trade Commission. Or no, that's not a lawsuit. Or maybe it is. Settlement with Federal Trade Commission. I don't think it's a court-based thing. But anyways, the FTC basically says that, you know, Facebook now, anything they do will have to be opt-in for the next 20 years or so. They'll need to... And they're going to have to report in during that time frame as well. So, does that make you feel any better about Facebook?
Somewhat, because most of the things they do is just, oh, well, here's a new thing. You're automatically subscribed to it. We can do anything you want to it. Oh, all you have to do is just navigate through our painfully difficult privacy menus and go. And after you find the minuscule writing that it is, you can opt out of it. Oh, by the way, the only way to opt out completely is to never sign up in the first place. So yeah, this is a step in the right direction, I think, in the fact that you can opt into to selling your soul over the internet rather than opting out of it.
Well, you know, in 2009, Mark Zuckerberg declared the age of privacy dead.
Yeah.
I think I'd be good friends with Mark.
You probably would.
So, basically, I don't know. I think this would have to have been spurred by many things over time. From the profile incident to the friends list to I don't know what now. But, have they had any privacy problems in the last 6 months? I don't think so, have they?
Well, none that haven't been there for quite a while. Like the fact that that every time you upload a picture to Facebook, you don't own it anymore.
Yeah, well, that's a thing, I guess, because, you know, what they want to do with these pictures is eventually, if I was in the position of having all this data, I would analyze these pictures for certain things and then use them for advertisement purposes based on where people are and whatnot.
Well, that's what they already do, you know?
Or alternatively, I would sell my soul to the government and let them use all this for facial recognition stuff to find fugitives and whatnot.
Oh, yeah, because we don't have enough dumb prisoners and criminals already posting on Facebook about... Remember that one a few times... I think it was a few months ago about the guy in the UK who escaped and he was taunting police on Facebook, and they eventually caught him in a internet cafe. He was on the computer and he was in the process of updating his status, and they caught him. It didn't take them long to figure out, well, we just have to look for some of our internet cafes and we might be able to find him.
Yeah, so that's the thing. I think... I think there's a delicate balance here between privacy and protecting the law, but I think with appropriate, what's the word, due order, due action, due process.
Due process.
You can get whatever you need to get from this. And, you know, I think it was a good thing that Google Plus launched when it did. It was kind of a bit strange seeing that Facebook coming out with all these features that were like Google Plus, but... You know, anybody who knows the way web development works and development in general is Google Plus comes out in July, and by the end of August, Facebook has features that are relatively the same. No, you don't push features out that fast. So. But
maybe they got anyways. A little scared.
Yeah, they probably did, and that's a good thing, because Google Plus is completely the opposite of Facebook. You know, you own everything you put into it. Everything's private by default. You only share who you want to share with.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know, and you know, it's also Google, and I think Google's a more trusted company than Facebook is, but mm-hmm. I don't know, Google could be monopolistic in the future if they were to do stuff, so I don't know, it's a delicate line, but I think Google so far is safe.
For now.
Yeah, well, you know, it seems to alternate between who's the evil one, Google or Apple, right?
Google or Apple? I thought it was Microsoft and Apple.
Oh, no. Microsoft's long gone. They're not evil anymore. They're like the dictatorship that reformed their ways.
Or what, no, the maybe dictatorship Apple, that Apple turned into Facebook. A benevolent monarchy?
Yeah, something like that. Well, yeah, they used to force people to use Internet Explorer and bundle it and use their MSN search. Now you get a choice when you load Internet Explorer.
Oh.
You don't even need to have the Internet Explorer icon on your system anymore if you don't want it.
Well, that was from a lawsuit, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, but Windows 7 improved on that. IE9 improved on the search and stuff. So, you know, I don't know, but we're off topic there.
We are.
Jeez.
Are you really surprised that we're off topic?
No, not really. Steam hacked. Something a bit serious here.
That is pretty serious, actually. But more specifically, the Steam forums were hacked.
Yeah, but, you know, that gives access to the database and everything. You don't know what kind of, whether or not your credit card info was in the same database or not, or whether or not that was isolated. So, fair warning to anybody out there who uses Steam, watch your bank accounts, credit card accounts, etc., and change your Steam password if you use it anywhere else. You should not be using the same password anywhere you go.
Yeah, that's
but,
for sure.
I'm actually not too worried about this on my end, because everything in my Steam account has either been purchased retail box and activated, or purchased through PayPal. So I got the PayPal block preventing them from getting any further info.
Not only that, but I look at my stuff all the time, and I'd know if something happens, and so far nothing has happened, so I think I'm pretty good. Plus, I don't use the Steam forum, so that also helps.
Yep. Yeah, but we all have Steam accounts. Everybody does, so just go to Yellow Alert and be on the lookout.
Mm-hmm. It's not as bad as the Sony thing.
No, that's much worse.
The PlayStation Network. So that's a heck of a lot better. I
trust
Valve than Sony.
As soon as this came out, the Valve CEO, Gabe, whatever his name is, had this message posted, and much better response than the Sony response.
Oh, for sure.
So, I don't know. I still have faith in Steam.
Yeah. Steam and Valve, until they do something terrible, like completely disappear and screw us up from playing any of our games that we've bought, I think we have to take them at face value.
Yep. We learned that intruders obtained access to a Steam database in addition to the forums. This database contained information including usernames, hashed and salted passwords, game purchases, email addresses, billing addresses, and encrypted credit card information. We do not have evidence that the encrypted credit card numbers or personally identifying information were taken by the intruders, or that the protection on the credit card numbers or passwords was cracked. We are still investigating.
So,
we also have no evidence of credit card misuse.
So it's good that they've actually encrypted the information rather than just leaving it out in the open.
Yeah, which is good. I mean, yeah. Steam is one of the companies I'm proud of every time I log in or try and change something with it, because they don't send your password in clear text if you request a password. You have to go reset it yourself. If you log into a new computer, they automatically think it's somebody trying to take over your account. They email you and you have to enter in a confirmation code. Have you ever had that before?
Yeah, it's the Steam Guard things. One time I tried to log in from a different computer and it did that, and I forgot it was Steam Guard. So if you're traveling, it's good to not have it on. But Steam Guard is really good, because that way you have much less risk of getting your account hacked into, which is good, because if you have a lot of games on there like I do, it's really good to have some protection on there, you know.
Yeah, you don't want to lose your account.
No, you never do.
All right, so
especially considering how many games I have on there, probably more than most.
Yeah, what is it, like 50?
50? You're joking me. View all 273 games.
Okay.
Let's see here. How many does Paul have? He has He has less than me. He has 111.
How many do I have?
You. Where are you in the list? Where are you in the list? I think Mike has around 150. Oh, Tim's close to me. He's got 252.
Where are you? He doesn't count.
Where are you? I can't find you in the list. Where are you? There you go. You probably have, like, very few. Oh, yeah, 41 yeah. games. You're a noob when it comes to buying games on Steam.
Anyway, so that's a bit of a news about the Steam engine, so watch everything.
Chief is 8 games.
Okay, so he has less than me.
Yeah.
But, to be fair, most of the games I got came in packages together. It's not like I bought all those. It's like they all come in like groups together. Like you get when I first got Half-Life, got like 6 or 7 games there.
Oh yeah, like the orange box and everything.
Yeah, stuff like that.
That was the first one I got for it. Actually, was the orange box.
All right. Speaking of other game releases, Skyrim and Modern Warfare 3 this week.
Skyrim, not Skyrim.
Oh, whoops.
Okay. Skyrim.
All right. Well, give us some. I have no idea what this game's about. What's the big deal behind it?
Well, Skyrim is the 5th game in the Elder Scrolls series, starting with Morrowind was the 3rd one. Then Oblivion came out. What was it? 5 years ago now. It's wild. But anyhow, this is the one developed by Bethesda, who also created the Fallout series. So these are pretty big open world RPG games, and it's been very, very highly regarded, let's say, and a lot of people were looking forward to this one, even more so than Battlefield 3 and Modern Warfare 2, I'd say, just because there are so many fewer releases in the Elder Scrolls series. So
I'd imagine the followers of this series are much more involved in their game than are much more dedicated to their franchise than the Modern Warfare Battlefield crowd is.
And I would tend to agree, actually. I haven't played Morrowind or Oblivion yet, and as soon as I do, I'll probably get Skyrim, but I haven't had the chance to play them yet. I do have them, though. I got them in the last Steam sale.
Two of 240, then?
Yeah. But I'll probably wait a while on Skyrim. Yeah. But they're really good games, and so I've heard. And I think I'll like them once I have the chance to get into them. So, yeah, Skyrim's going to be pretty good. Oh, yeah, and some game called Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3 was also released, but we don't really care about that, do we?
Yeah, everybody's asking, Shane, when are you getting Modern Warfare 3? When are you getting Modern Warfare 3?
I already got it. It's called Modern Warfare. That's the first one, you know, Call of Duty 4?
Yeah, you know,
okay, I've watched some gameplay videos. I really haven't seen the difference between...
Yes, you're entirely true on that. You're entirely true on that. The only reason I'm getting that
Modern Warfare
is...
1.
I'll get it eventually, is because I've played Modern Warfare 1 and 2, so it makes sense to play Modern Warfare 3. The single players, and I feel like I was gypped with Modern Warfare 2 not having dedicated servers. That's why.
And everyone, yeah. That was came out.
Yeah, this game's from 2007, the original Modern Warfare came out, and the whole rework to the engine they use, the IW engine.
Yep.
And it's the same engine, and yet apparently the game looks better, but no, you know, basically... Yes, it's the same engine to do the physics and everything, but they can just ramp up the textures and stuff a bit. So,
it doesn't really look that much better, to be honest.
Well, compared to Call of Duty 4, I think it's a bit better, but from what I've seen, it doesn't look as different as Modern Warfare 2 or Black Ops, which, you know... I mean, this is one of the problems with having a game that's essentially, or a company that's so focused on the console market, is that their console development, because they keep using that engine on the console, is holding back the PC market. Mm-hmm. Battlefield 3 definitely looks better than Modern Warfare 3, but, you know, the reason I'm not getting Battlefield 3 is because it doesn't play on Steam.
Yeah.
It uses Origin. I don't want another thing to launch games. Steam.
Yeah, I don't want to use Origin, and I'm worried about Mass Effect 3 when it comes out, if it'll be Origin exclusive. Yeah. I'm really worried about that, because I really want to play that game. But no, that's the same reason I didn't get Battlefield 3 either.
And, you know, also with the Modern Warfare series, some of the commercials on the TV just look absolutely ridiculous. I mean, people doing backflips and shooting an assault rifle while doing a backflip? What is that? I mean...
No idea.
I don't know. I'm still waiting for a shooter that's got, like I said, realistic play, like not flying through the air and shooting things, realistic shrapnel and realistic sniping.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, that's what I want in a shooter. But I from the looks of it, lots of people are playing Modern Warfare 3. I've been asked by a few people, Tim included. Yes, Tim, you do count. I'm sorry, I didn't mean that earlier. If you're listening.
Yeah, I still haven't, seriously played any Call of Duty game since Call of Duty 4. I have played a few times of World at War and 2 and Black Ops on friends' Xboxes, but, I mean, I've kicked their asses in the meantime, but I still haven't played it very seriously.
Oh, that's funny.
Hey, I used to play console shooters quite a bit on my old PlayStation 2, so I still know how it goes, even though I'm not big on consoles anymore. Mainly because I don't want to drop a few more hundred on a gaming thing at this stage
to get a console, you know? And we're approaching probably the end of life, and we're buying hardware from 2006. It makes no sense whatsoever. Hear that, people. Don't buy console. Already. Anyways, I think that's it for tech news now.
I think so, too. It's pretty good. We've got our gaming in there as well. So let's go on to other things, like the Skultum update.
Can you pull that up? I don't have it up right now. Do you have it up?
I'm trying to pull it up. Yes, I do have it now. Okay, so the Lion is in the lead right now, the Lion 777, with just over 800,000 XP gained. He's had a little dip in experience gain, but he seems to be pretty steady. In second place, who jumped up there from last week, was Pris, with 480,000 experience gained. And in third is Rodsay, who's been keeping a very steady progress level with 362,000 experience. And in fourth is Minor Goo, with 280,000. And it goes down from there. So,
and it should be noted that the skill of the month is thieving.
Thieving.
So, I don't know. I think thieving's a pretty pretty good skill of the month to do. It's not like a silly one where you can only train with a huge amount of money or something like that, or spending a lot of time with it like Dungeoneering. So,
mm-hmm.
Definitely an interesting one to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Alrighty. Achievements of the week. Pris, once again. 99 woodcutting on November 5th. Part of the whole sexy craze in the RSBNB Friends Trad. SXE. A bunch of people stuck that on the front of their name and a new trend.
I guess so.
So congratulations to you.
And you have a pick.
Yes. Do you just want to... Oh, you were?
Oh, I have one, but you can use it.
Oh, okay, go for it. Go ahead.
Oh, maybe we can both do one. How about you go first? Yeah, okay. Sure. We're polite Canadians.
We'll both do one.
Go for it.
Okay. I don't know if you like games of the 90s and stuff.
Yes.
I don't know if you ever played this one. Did you ever play Worms in the 90s?
Yes.
Okay. This is a free open source game that's based on the same mechanics as Worms, pretty much the same weapons and everything, except it's with hedgehogs. It's called Hedge Wars.
Hedge Wars.
Hedgewars.org. It's basically pretty much everything Worms was. It runs on Windows, Mac, Linux, iOS. Eventually, iOS gameplay will have network ability, so you can sit together with your friend. You guys can both play on your iPads and play, or you can just go computer to computer and do that. I think it's one of the my most favorite downloads I've found recently, primarily because Worms broke many years ago. I don't know why it broke, but it just stopped working on Windows XP, and then weren't able to play it anymore. So, and it was a game I really, really used to like. Mike and I used to do these matchups with each other all the time. So we've been able to now resume that, do it, of course, with Hedge Wars. And just to give you an idea, we used to play Worms way back in the day, like 10 years ago. 10, 12 years ago is when we would play this. So it's still as fun as it was back then. But definitely check it out. You can play single player, but playing single player is not as fun. They got a whole lobby there of people you can play with. Basically, you just go in, create a game, choose your map, choose your weapon set, and off you go. Of course, the objective is to kill people. And my team name is RSBNB. It consists of you, Trekkie, Paul, Chief Snake, Southrend, Jason, Dave, and Earth, because you can only have 8 people. So that's my team.
Yeah, it was kind of alarming to me when I logged on to Skype to talk to you one day and you said, "Oh, you just died." I'm like, "What?" "Oh, you just died. Oh, now Chief died as well. That's too bad." I'm like, "What is going on?" "Oh, I'm talking about Worms. Talking about Hedge Wars."
Yeah.
Oh, that was kind of funny.
Yeah,
but yeah,
Trekkie likes going for a swim most of the time. He gets batted off into the water. Oh, and you can make them skip across the water if you hit them at the right angle. So you'll see this thing, and it'll go bounce along the water like skipping a rock.
Oh, that sounds cool.
Yeah, so definitely something to check out.
I should check that out. Sounds fun.
Okay, yours now?
And mine. Mine is a TV show made in Canada called Man Tracker. It is produced on the OLN network, Outdoor Life Network, and it's actually a really fun show to watch. It's about this, it's about usually a pair of people, either they have not met or they are friends, and they have to escape through about 50 kilometers of Canadian wilderness, and they've got 36 hours in which to do it. So what they are escaping from is they have to go through wilderness, they have to go through trails and all kinds of weather, all kinds of altitudes, through the Yukon, Alberta, BC, Northern Ontario, and they've also done some in the Eastern Canada as well. And they're escaping from this guy called the Man Tracker, who is a part of the search and rescue team of the Alberta Foothills. And basically he's trying to figure out where they're going and how to catch up to them. And he and his partner, who are and his partner's always a local guide who knows the area really well, they're on horses, and the prey are on foot, and basically they have to get away from them. So it is actually a really funny show to watch, just to see some of the commentary in between the two. And it might be some sort of a reality TV, but it actually does seem kind of real. It's actually quite funny because some of the commentary in between the two, it's just absolutely hilarious how they totally hate on the guy. He's like, "Oh, Man Tracker, we're gonna beat him, we're gonna do this well." And it's funny because sometimes the people that they have on the show are just incredibly funny. Like one time, and they totally go by stereotypes. So one time they had two black guys from Toronto, like the city of Toronto, and they were just total gangsters, and it was so funny how they were talking about, it's like, we're doing this the way our ancestors did it, you know, and they're talking about like escaped slaves and how they're running away to their freedom. And they ended up getting caught. It was extremely funny. And this other pair was like a Native American pair, and it's like, oh, the white man always catches us, it seems. And it's even funnier when women are on the show, because especially city women, because they always get caught. It's really funny. But there was these two. They have two ex-army people, and one was from England and one was from the Czech Republic, and they ended up doing very, very well, and they ended up winning. So his actual capture rate of them is hovering around 75% to 80%, and it's a really fun show to watch.
What do they get for not getting captured and escaping?
Well, basically, they get to it's all about pride, really. You know, it's they end up, you know, they win, and there's no like real prizes of it, but you know, the fact that you beat a professional tracker and get away from two people on horse in the wilderness in crushing country, I think that earns some pretty big bragging rights, I think. But anyhow,
yeah,
it's
to be able to traverse. Mm-hmm. That kind of wilderness, with even if you weren't being tracked, would be a substantial feat. It's quite brutal. Do they do it in the winter?
They don't usually do it in the winter. They sometimes do it in like September and October. I mean, that's pretty darn cold for like the Yukon in northern Ontario.
Yeah, that's true.
But they normally do it in the summertime. But I've seen all types of weather on it. There was one time where they started and it was snowing. And that can't have been much fun to go through, you know. It's definitely quite outdoorsy, and it's a really fun show for me to watch, though. So Canadians, you'd be able to find it on the Outdoor Life Network, but anyone outside of Canada, you'd probably be able to find it through other means. That's how I watch it. But it's up to 6 seasons now, and it's really fun to watch.
Yep. Lots of good Canadian TV if you know what to look for.
There is lots of good Canadian TV, actually.
All right. Good.
All right, so that is my pick.
What have you been up to?
I am the working man, and I have been working a lot recently. I really don't really want to be working that much, but I haven't had too much time for much else other than that. I was getting psyched up for Mass Effect 3 that's coming out in March. So much there was a leaked demo of it on Xbox, actually, and it was supposed to be just a closed beta, and a very closed beta between developers and stuff like that. But it ended up getting leaked, and you could actually play like the first 10 or 15 minutes of the alpha version of Mass Effect 3, and plus some of the multiplayer that's coming out. This is really neat, because this is the first time that they're going to be doing multiplayer, and it's going to be kind of a horde mode thing where you team up with 3 or 4 other people, kind of like Left 4 Dead-ish type thing.
Okay.
But it's the gameplay is looking so much better, and keeping in mind that this is 4 or 5 months now, no, 4 months from the finish line, so to speak, that the development looks really, really good. And I'm really looking forward to it. I just hope it isn't Origin exclusive. But anyhow, that kind of got me into starting another round of Mass Effect and Mass Effect 2 again. And it's a really, really great game series, and I was playing that in the meantime. And other than that, not too much. It's been getting kind of cooler here, so I haven't been outside as much recently. But
we got snow in the forecast for tonight.
Oh, really?
Between 1 and 3 centimeters. Yes.
Would that be your first snowfall?
Yeah, Calgary's already got theirs. Other people in the province has as well. So we've evaded it for this long, so it's about time.
Yeah.
But do you have anything else?
Not too much else, no. I don't think so. Unless I'll remember it while you're talking.
Okay. This week for me has just been... Woo! Gone. Came and went. This week, primarily on RuneScape, smithing my gold ore into gold bars. That's about it there. I wanted to do more of it, but I got distracted. I always get distracted by things that are more important, like, oh, I don't know. hard drive failure? Had another one go down.
Oh no, that's terrible.
Yeah, so I'm in the process. I've got the data rescue done. I just got to rejigger some drives now, because I think it's only a bad sector, so a reformat should be able to fix it, but I don't want to have that drive in service on my computer anymore, so it's going in the PVR tonight. But aside from that, I've actually started the back end now of that of said project that this month's Informer article is going to be about. I didn't write an article last month, so I will have one this month. I promise. So that'll be that. What else have I been doing? I got a winter coat. I needed a new coat. And the sticker on it says it's rated to -34 Celsius.
Oh, I never would want to be in that kind of weather. That's why I live in the Hawaii of Canada, that's for sure.
Yeah, and aside from that, just dealing with, I don't know. I tell people who are interested in computer science or stuff like that, are you really sure you want to go down this route and learn how to program and learn how to design software? Because if you do, you're going to start seeing all kinds of issues with every piece of software you use, whether it be a web app or something else, and you want to try and make it better. So, you know, I've been exploring a few things about certain applications, and I think I've settled on Remember the Milk for my task list, because it has a pretty good iOS client, and the web app is not too bad, but it'd be nice to have a desktop one as well. So that's something I'm thinking of doing. And a few other little applications here and there as well, so... yeah, but that's pretty much it for me this week.
Yeah, not too interesting for me. I got some clothes. Went to get some new jeans
because
I was starting to feel cool. So I thought, I guess I'll have to switch from wearing shorts to wearing jeans now. So got some new shirts in the meantime. Went down a belt size.
That's good.
Pretty proud of myself of that.
So
yeah, there we go.
And you have to pay HST on that.
I did, of course.
So,
but then I'd have to pay it on clothes regardless. So, you only got the PST exemption on kids' clothes.
No, I mean, you always used to have that kind of tax, whereas we didn't here.
Yeah, well, yeah, you only have 5%. We have 12% tax. So, and that's only sales tax too. Our actual taxes are much higher here as well. But then again, we don't get your winter, so it all balances out, I think.
Yeah, and you don't have our oil either.
You don't have our forests.
I think that means we're done when we've resorted to talking about our provinces. I think we're done for this week. So
we are very
anyways.
Major. Certain provinces.
Yes, yes, we are.
It's not foolish to be proud of the country that you're born in. There are
no,
other ways to
or province proud. Either.
Exactly.
So, with that being said, thank you all for being here this week, and I'll see you all next week, and King Kala will say goodbye now.
Bye, guys. Hope you have a good week. Hope to be on again soon. Thank you.